So we have some breaking news now. The Departments of Health and Justice have, under Freedom of Information Act requirements, jointly decided to publish the 2016 report of the Working Group on Fatal-Fetal Abnormality. We can tell you now what the report will recommend. And this is breaking news. It will recommend that the law should be changed to provide for termination of pregnancy where an abnormality is of such a nature as to be likely to cause death, either before birth, during birth, or in the early period after birth. Obviously, this is controversial. This will be a big talking point today. The former Alliance leader, David Ford, with us this morning, former Minister to the Department of Justice, actually. Good morning to you, David.
Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning. So talk us through this, David.
Well, I have seen the letter which was sent by the two permanent secretaries to, I presume, all party leaders this morning. Naomi Long shared her copy of it with me, obviously given the interest I had as the minister who was responsible at the time. Whilst a lot of the letter dwells on the technicalities of the Freedom of Information Act and the fact that a decision has been taken to publish the report today because it doesn't look likely there'll be an early restoration of an executive, the key sentence is, I think, more or less what you've just said. Let me read it to you. The report recommends that the law should be changed to provide for termination of pregnancy where an abnormality is of such a nature as to be likely to cause death either before birth, during birth, or in the early period after birth. There's then a next sentence. The report notes, that improvements can be made to the care and support of women with a fatal fetal abnormality diagnosis through proposals to improve the standard of care under the existing legal framework. To me, it is a clear vindication of the efforts that I made as a result of the Department of Justice consultation to allow for abortion in the cases where there was a fetal abnormality, which meant that there was no prospect of a viable life, and to allow women with appropriate medical guidance and medical decision-making to have an abortion, clearly recognising the trauma that some women, and the Nolan programme has highlighted one particular young woman, Sarah Ewart, that trauma that people have gone through because of being given a diagnosis and being unable to access a termination within Northern Ireland.
David, keep me right here. This working group who compiled this report, who was on it?
Well, I don't know exactly who was on it, but it was officials from both the Department of Justice and the Department of Health.
Okay, so my question is this. If it was officials from, including officials from the Department of Health, does that mean that this report is endorsed by the Chief Medical Officer, Michael McBride?
I don't know that, but certainly my understanding is that Dr. McBride was one of those who was on the team. But yes, that is my understanding. I'm not certain, and I can't stand over that remark at this stage. If you remember, we had a difficulty when the executive wouldn't allow me as Minister of Justice to bring forward proposals which followed the Department of Justice consultation because the previous health minister was unwilling to engage in a joint consultation. Arlene Foster then announced that she had asked the health minister to conduct a review of the issue, which, of course, there was no right to do because it was an issue which fell between health and justice. So after a bit of a row in the executive, it was agreed that the joint work, which frankly should have been done 2 years earlier, would be done. Unfortunately, the ministers who succeeded, Michelle O'Neill in health and Claire Stugden in justice, then did not feel that they should publish the report before the executive fell over a year ago. And that's why we've been languishing with no information coming through to the public. I welcome the fact that the two permanent secretaries have decided that it's of sufficient public interest that people should be aware of what's in the report. Obviously, we don't at the moment have a working legislature to take this forward, but I very much hope that we will have soon.
I'm just coming back. I'm just processing my thoughts here, David, and then obviously we'll move on to other matters. But if this is, and we're just seeking clarification from the Department of Health now as to whether this report is endorsed by the top, in other words, from the Department of Health, in other words, by the Chief Medical Officer, because I have hosted discussions on this program where there have been some medical professionals saying that the term fatal fetal abnormality, for example, doesn't exist. It cannot be defined by medical practitioners. If it is in this report, David, and if this is a report supported by the Department of Health, then that shows support for that term, the existence of that condition, and the consequences of it. Do you understand where I'm going with this?
Well, yes, but just to be technical, there is not a condition of fatal abnormality. The same as technically there isn't a condition of cancer. There are multiple different cancers. There are similarly many different conditions which a fetus can suffer, which would mean that there is no prospect of a viable life. Some of us have used the term fatal abnormality to cover those range of issues, and in particular, because medical knowledge changes, some conditions which might be deemed to be fatal 50 years ago are no longer fatal because medical advances have happened. Others may be discovered which aren't yet defined. So the important thing was, as I sought to legislate, not to tie it down by listing particular conditions which might change, which might need to be added to or subtracted from, but simply say where two appropriate, the qualified doctors gave a diagnosis that there was a condition which was fatal.
Sure, but again, David, I'm processing in my head here what you have read from this letter that you've secured access to. And if you are just joining...
Secured access to means Naomi Long shared with me.
Sure, not that okay, you got it. You got it. You've got it in front of you.
Yeah.
And I wrote down what you said. You said the following, and this is from the letter. The report recommends that the law should be changed to provide for termination of pregnancy where an abnormality is of such a nature as to be likely to cause death either before birth, during birth, or in the early period after birth. Correct?
Correct.
So where my brain takes me is of such a nature as to be likely to cause death either before birth, during birth, or in the early period of birth. Does that not leave some from those who are against abortion to be arguing, well, hold on a minute, likely, that doesn't mean certainty. How likely? Very likely? Definitely?
Well,
no doubt they will be focusing on this likely to cause death. What does that mean?
Well, and this is a discussion which I interestingly had with a sixth former from a school visiting the assembly on Monday who raised that particular issue. The other way of looking at it is just consider the news bulletins which are being carried about the reports from Alder Hey Hospital in Liverpool, the tragic circumstances of a young child where the courts have followed a medical recommendation that effectively no further treatment was appropriate or reasonable. Now, that is still an ongoing case, so I don't think it is. But we have many occasions when, although there is not an absolute medical certainty, we go on the basis of the professional opinions, given all their experience, of two qualified doctors to decide. Sometimes more than two would be involved. It's rare that a life and death decision would simply fall to one doctor. But we rely on the medical skills and training of doctors to take those life and death decisions. Of course, nobody can give an absolute 100.00% diagnosis in any case.
David, I'm only interrupting.
But that's not the standard we go to.
You'll understand why I'm interrupting you, because we've got Jane Christie this morning, Sarah Yurt's mother. Jane, good morning to you.
Good morning, David.
Our coverage, Jane, of this whole story and the whole issue that was brought to Northern Ireland for discussion was when your daughter contacted the Nolan Show.
Yes.
Sarah. And Sarah had a child where there was going to be fatal abnormality, and we're all very familiar of what happened from then. I believe you're learning about this morning while listening to the show, is that right?
That's correct, yes.
So what's your reaction?
It's a relief. It's a long time coming, but it's a relief, and we're very grateful that they've at last decided to publish it, so thankful for that.
You've been campaigning for this for a long time.
Sarah and I don't like to use the word campaigning. We ended up stuck in this position, as like many other families who have been in touch since Sarah has been so vocal about it. It's not a position that we wanted to be in, but found ourselves in. And we have other family members who are female, and we have another daughter ourselves, and until this landed at our door, we didn't give it a second thought, and I just wouldn't want any other young mother to be in this position ever.
And what difference do you think this will make? Now, this has to then go through the legislative process. This is a recommendation from this report, Jane, but it's now supported by the chief medical officer, I believe, was the chair of the working group. So
That's right. We're
just seeking clarification now from the Department of Health. But if he's chair of the working group and this is the report, then the chief medical officer supports the views in this report. What difference do you think this will make?
Well, it's not just Sarah and I saying it anymore. This is coming from medical professionals, legal professionals, and I don't know how many or how the group was made up, but I know it's people who would have obviously some background in what's required and what they were dealing with. So it's not just our story, it's they realise themselves. I mean, these doctors are faced with this and having to cope with it, and are very, very frustrated that they can't help these mothers. And I think it's awful that we're still... It's a lot better than what we had, sending the mothers away, but it's still not good enough. I mean, why do we not just trust our own doctors here to deal with it, our own consultants? And you made a comment, I did hear that you made a comment about clarification on fetal abnormality that a professional had spoken out in the past.
Yeah.
Well, I think if you check with Gráinne, that professional had actually done a submission on our behalf to the court.
Well, Gráinne Taggart, you're talking about from Amnesty International, who's also with us this morning. Gráinne, good morning to you.
Good morning. Morning, Jane.
Good morning, Gráinne.
Your reaction to this, Gráinne?
Well, I mean, I think it's very welcome, and we have long known what was in the report. You know, it's been reported on previously, and also in the Supreme Court when Jane, Sarah and I were in London, one of the counsel referred to the ultimate recommendation in the report being a change in the law. So to that extent, and in the interests of, you know, the public being aware of this, I think it's very welcome indeed. And it is helpful in terms of contributing to the debate on the need for change here. It obviously comes at a time when we are awaiting the Supreme Court ruling, and we expect that in mid-May. So really what we need to see is what the Supreme Court have said on this, and to assess where we go from there in terms of the legislature, obviously at Westminster, our government at Westminster, and also then through the courts.
There is going to be a discussion now, Gráinne, in Northern Ireland. This is one of the most divisive issues that there is. You know that there will be a lot of discussion today, some from people who passionately believe that this will be a backward step.
Well, my view on that would be that those people are few in number, because on this issue, you would actually be hard-pressed to find, I think, well, really poll after poll has shown that the public favour change, including in these circumstances, but also in other circumstances, and that the majority of the Northern Ireland public want to also see decriminalisation of abortion. So actually, the Northern Ireland public are quite clear where they are on this. But what we do have and what we have had is a vocal and very strident minority who obviously hold very strong views on this issue. It is, as you say, one that people hold, you know, strongly held and sincerely held views on this. But the bottom line for Amnesty is that at a time when we are seeing progress being made in the south of Ireland and further welcome progress being made in England, women here continue to be left behind, and that cannot continue.
Well, I can just bring more information about this report to the public domain now, because we know that the report will also state the following. Where a diagnosis has been made of such an abnormality, it is to be accepted that the continuance of such a pregnancy poses a substantial risk of serious adverse effect on a woman's health and well-being. We were talking on the show earlier about those people who say, look, the very term fetal abnormality doesn't exist. On the issue of terminology and definitions, here's what the working group report will state about fetal abnormality. It will state the following. Fatal fetal abnormality is an acceptable description of a diagnosis made, usually around 20 weeks gestation, of a fetal abnormality which will result in death in utero at birth or shortly after birth. Now, I've got to say, and let me bring Breda Hughes into this, who sat on the working group. Sorry, you were consulted about this, Breda. My fault. Morning to you. Morning, Breda.
Morning, Stephen.
Good morning. You're from the Royal College of Midwives.
Yes.
Look, this will be talked about today, so let me try to nail this now. I can see here a difference in language. the report is saying is an acceptable description of a diagnosis made of a fetal abnormality which will result in death, and yet there is another. Let me just find it here. Obviously, I'm dealing with this morning. The letter that David Ford had said the report recommends that the law should be changed where now abnormalities of such a nature as to be likely to cause death. So likely to cause death or will cause death are two different things, Breda.
Well, I think that's an issue for the lawyers who are going to be drafting the legislation, Stephen. But from the point of view of healthcare professionals who day and daily are faced with women given devastating news about very often a much wanted pregnancy, a planned pregnancy, the women like Sarah Ewart, and we have to look at them, and our medical colleagues have to break the bad news to them and say, this baby that you have been carrying has a condition that will mean that the baby will or is likely to die during pregnancy, during the labour, or immediately after birth.
But Breda,
and
part
some
of the...
women, and hold okay. on, Stephen, I just want to make the point sure. that many women in Northern Ireland will accept that diagnosis and say, well, basically, for many of them, they would say it is God's will, and they will choose to continue their pregnancy. And for those women, they will be given all of the support that any pregnant woman would be given. But there are some women, and the prospect of continuing for another 4 months with a pregnancy where they know the baby will not survive is just too much for them. And they should have the option to have those pregnancies terminated here at home.
Yes.
The new ruling from England means that they can go to England, they can have the pregnancies terminated in England on the health service free. They have to pay for their travel and accommodation, of course, but the service is free. But they really should be having that procedure carried out here in Northern Ireland with their families and the people who are dear to them around them, being looked after by a team of medics and midwives and nurses that they know and have trust and confidence in. So this is a big step forward, we think.
But Breda, for those who argue against abortion in any circumstances, part of their argument will be that no medical professional can ever tell whether there is going to be definite death, whether a fetus has no chance of viability. And is there not an inconsistency now from this report where in one line it is talking about the likely of such a nature to be likely to cause death, and elsewhere it talks about will cause death? Surely that is part of what those who are against abortion will focus on.
Well, two things, Stephen. One is, as I say, this is a legal issue, and I won't give a comment on it.
It's also a medical issue, isn't it?
What I would say, though, is the terminology is legal. What I would say is there is never 100% certainty of anything in this life. You're not certain you're not going to walk out of the studio and get hit by a bus. So you cannot have 100% certainty that you will put your foot on the road and get to the other side safely, because you may not. The second thing I would say to those who would oppose this sort of service being offered to women is it will be offered to the woman. It will not be compulsory. And the underpinning principle to the service will be it will be the woman's choice based on the best available information that she can be given. And imaging and diagnostic techniques are improving. Every year goes past, we have another new more accurate method of diagnosing these types of conditions during a pregnancy. So I would say that there's no 100% certainty on anything in this life. And the second thing is that it will be all up to the woman to make a choice based on the best available information.
Stephen, if I could just very quickly add, you know, our medical profession and women here have long been compromised and negatively impacted by the criminalisation of abortion. And it looks to me, in the press release from the Department of Health is out, is what this does, and it's very welcome, is move things to a space where this is a decision where we're given basically the freedom and the space in law to our medical profession to advise, obviously, women, and giving them the space to discuss those options and then make a decision on that basis, as Breda rightly says. So really, this is about placing the termination of any pregnancy in the hands of women, advised and informed by their medical profession, which should have always been the case. So I think this is a very much welcome direction of travel.
Okay, Bernie Smith from Precious Life joining us this morning. Your reaction, Bernie? Good morning.
Good morning, Stephen. Where do you start? I think I've listened to the birds of a feather gathering together like vultures to bring about the death of very vulnerable unborn children. And I think we need to refresh David Ford. A few years ago, he called for a consultation, and the response to that consultation showed that over 99% of those who responded were opposed to any change in the law. When we talk about, you've made it very clear what Dr. Dorman had stated on the BBC View, no one knows. The Attorney General presented that in the recent judicial review, where he had submissions from mothers who had been wrongly diagnosed. And when we take into consideration those women who find themselves in these difficult situations, there is no such thing as perinatal
hospice care for those women, which is very important.
Bernie,
let me just tell you that within this report, because I know you won't have seen it yet.
No, I haven't.
It also says that it notes that modern diagnostic resources, quote, allow for very accurate information to be provided to women regarding the condition of the fetus and its viability.
And that still clearly doesn't say it's 100%. But irregardless of that, what Amnesty is stating there is wrong as well, because the vast majority of people here in Northern Ireland continue to be opposed to abortion. Over 25,000 opposition petition to a change in the law for children with life-limiting disabilities was presented to David Ford, and he chose to ignore the views of the vast majority of people.
Obviously, David would dispute ignoring anything, and I'm sure he considered all of the information and data in front of him.
Let's pull up that consultation that he held. Let's look at that.
Okay.
But bear in mind...
Let me let Grainne Taggart respond to this.
These are just recommendations.
That's correct. These are just recommendations. That's correct. Grainne.
Okay, just on that, I mean, the most recent survey was obviously the Northern Ireland Life and Time survey, and it showed very clearly that the Northern Ireland public do favour this change and wider change as well. So it's simply not accurate to say that that's not the case. And Amnesty has also obviously commissioned polls, and they have shown the same consistently, that at least 7 in 10 people want to see reform of our law. Now, Bernie mentioned something just there in terms of, you know, Dr. Dornan and comments that he had made. I'm on The View, and I want to correct that, because Dr. Dornan did actually clarify what he meant by that in an affidavit that he provided to the Supreme Court. And what he meant was, can you pinpoint the exact point at which a diagnosis is fatal, that a fetus will pass away? No. But can, through the diagnostic technologies that are available, you look at a pregnancy, you look at a fetus, and advise a woman whether or not the condition is likely to be fatal? Yes, absolutely. And that's obviously
and very clear.
With what
it's
we've
very
seen
clear.
This report as what? Well, and the key medical professionals who obviously know about this issue, they are saying the same. So I think we need to trust our medical profession.
And I think we
and
have
more
to,
importantly,
we
I think we need to trust women to make decisions about their own bodies.
Okay, look, Jane Christie, I want to end with you this morning, because I want to bring you back. I think it was to 2013.
Mm-hmm.
When your daughter Sarah was talking to the public of Northern Ireland through the Nolan Show, I'll remind you what she said at the time.
Before I found out what this was, if you had said to me would I have ever thought of an abortion, I'd have said no. No way. I mean, there's people who do this because they've got a girl, they don't want a girl, they want a boy, or this one night stand. That's different. This is medical. I have no choice. I am literally carrying a body. Unless you are at suicidal stage, they will not offer you a termination. This is destroying me.
What do you mean?
I don't want to go out and face people. It is just emotionally wrecking. This is not the way I should be. This is not who I am. This needs to change.
That's what prompted the debate, Jane.
Yep.
The widespread debate throughout Northern Ireland, and maybe if this report is to become legislation, and that is an if, what happened to your daughter won't happen again.
Well, let's hope so, because we have always said, and our court submissions have all been about fetal abnormality, but any woman or mum that wants to go through the birth should be supported. but there are ones like Sarah that don't, and they also should be supported. Whenever we arrived in London for the Supreme Court hearing in October past, three more families got in touch with us that were being not being sent away, but taking the option to go away for a termination. And that shouldn't be the case. This is hard enough to deal with without being sent away.
Jim, we appreciate you coming on at such short notice this morning. Thank you very much indeed. There'll be further coverage, obviously, on this story here on BBC Northern Ireland today. Thanks for your company. We'll see you tomorrow. Here comes Sean.